know a lot of people are taking this week off of work, including Congress, right, Todd?
Oh, they're gone until January. Thank your stars for that.
That's not what a marketing correspondent
Nothing can go wrong.
Supposed to say, Todd Zwilling. But there are a lot of people still hard at work, including Charlie Herman, our business and economics editor for our cruise producer, WNYC. Happy holidays,
Happy
Charlie.
Holidays to you.
And, of course, Marcus Mabry, who's celebrating Boxing Day off there, the editor-in-large of the International Herald Tribune, which is the international edition of the New York Times. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Time to refresh those leftovers from yesterday. All right. So let's begin with probably the most important story until New Year's Day is over, which is retail sales. I mean, obviously, this is the important time of the year. It sets up the whole rest, right?
Most wonderful
still
time
true?
Of the year.
Right?
Yeah, it's still a really important time, especially for retailers. And even this post-Christmas shopping season, by some estimates, can equal about a fifth of all sales for retailers during the holiday season. So, I mean, what we're seeing overall is that the retail sales are looking better compared to last year. A bunch of reasons for that, including the fact that people, you know, there seems to be some pent-up demand, people feeling a little bit better about the economy. And one thing that could actually probably help now is, if you recall, last year there were the huge snowstorms, especially in the Northeast, and that really slowed down sales, that, you know, both before and after. So this will clearly help, you know, if you look back from a year ago and say, wow, sales are really good. Part of it's because people can actually get out there and shop. But to be the downer, part of that increase is there are some increase in prices. But overall, good picture.
All right. Well, Marcus, I'm wondering if this is as important a time of year in terms of retailers and sales internationally as it is domestically.
You know, it depends on the place. For instance, in France, this is not a very important time for retail sales. However, here in the UK, today is one of the biggest shopping days of the year. And the fact is, this is amazing. And no New Yorker could believe this, but on Christmas Day here in the United Kingdom, in London, which considers itself to be a global capital, the subway and the buses shut down completely, 100%. Imagine the riot in New York if the subway ever shut down 100%.
Well, New Jersey Transit seems to be following the UK's rules, but
here and today, so we're supposed to have all our transit back today for this big shopping day. But the fact is, there's a strike in the metro today. So now the London Tubes basically has these amazing delays, which means that we're going to see, you know, in the U.S., you guys are having some really kind of optimistic, at least signs, early signs, that next year's economy may not be as bad as this year's economy. Here in Europe, whether it's the U.K. or in the Eurozone across the channel, things look more dire than ever. It's going to be a really horrible year here, where austerity, of course, will not lead to growth, because if you stop spending money, then you also don't grow your economy.
So we're
having austerity here is going to probably lead to greater unemployment, while we're cutting back our budgets here to help people with their social needs. The social safety net is fraying in Europe. I expect real kind of dislocation and unsettled instability here in Europe next year.
So a strike in the subway is sort of not a good way to signal for starting the year.
Exactly. Now, that's not going to help retail sales at all. People can't get to the shops.
All right. So, well, let's talk about another thing which is possibly international. And let's begin with you, Charlie, which is that we've talked about this as the year has progressed. The economy, or at least the economic analysis
of the economy,
yes, has been kind of in some way really watching politics perhaps harder than ever before, certainly in my lifetime.
Definitely. I mean, there's a lot of attention being focused because I think, who is chosen as a presidential candidate, and so much of the discussion is still going to be like it was 4 years ago, but even more intensely about the economy. And right now you're starting to see some signs that the economy is looking a little better. At least the analysis of it is that, you know, you're seeing consumer spending is increasing and consumer confidence is going up. You're seeing jobs beginning to stabilize. There's a lot of signs that things are looking good. But the problem is, are these big macro issues, like what's happening with growth in China? That seems to be slowing down a bit. Still growing, but not as much as before.
It's happening where Marcus is in Europe.
The problem's there. And then you sort of throw in the political inability to get anything done in Washington. And you have the Bush tax cut era. Tax cuts that are expiring. You have these automatic cuts in spending because a super committee failed to act. You have this inability of Congress to get the payroll tax cut through until the last minute. I mean, there's just so many things that are out there that how are they going to deal with this in the middle of a presidential election as well?
Economists are always saying that change is generally bad, that they like stability and continuity. Does that also extend to politics? I mean, would re-electing the incumbent be more stable where economists are concerned?
You know, I don't have the answer to that because there's just overall instability. I mean, there may be a sense of if you bring in somebody else, a lot of that depends on who that somebody else is. Maybe that might lead to some more stability. But, you know, right now it's just more can something get done? There's almost too much of things not getting done, whether it's in Europe or whether it's here in the U.S.
Well, let me ask you, Marcus. I mean, go ahead. Yeah.
Markets, of course, whatever economists like, markets, of course, hate uncertainty. That's that's anathema to all the markets, right? And next year, it's not just in the U.S. that we're looking at a potential change in power in the U.S. If President Obama is not reelected, but we'll also have, you know, the House and the Senate will also be up for grabs. But also in China, we're going to definitely have a change at the top of that leadership in that country. In Russia, we have a potential change. Vladimir Putin coming back to the view of the president. In France, we have elections. We're talking about four of the five U.N. permanent members of the Security Council facing elections or changes in leadership. And, of course, the fifth of those permanent members is Britain, who, although they don't face a re-election, man, they might. Who knows? We could have an election called. And that, of course, Cameron is in
Trump. And look how the economy is changing. Look how the economy is changing things in Europe. I mean, there are changes in who's leading those countries in Spain and Italy because of the economy. So that's a similar thing that could happen here.
All right. So I'm going to ask both of you, what's going to end up being the big economic story of the year? Is it Europe's debt? Charlie?
I think it's still jobs. I mean, Europe's debt may affect jobs, but I think that is the story going forward. The problem is that the government can't really create jobs or do something specifically to bring it down.
Right. And Marcus, what about you?
I'm going to say from my perspective here in London, a few miles from the city, I'm going to have to say it's going to be Europe's in the Eurozone, whether they can stabilize the Eurozone and if the Euro can survive.
All right. Well, that's definitely going to be the headline for next year if the Euro doesn't survive, or I guess it does, though. How do you peg that to a specific date? Euro still alive today. On March 12th, Marcus Mavrey, editor-at-large of the International Herald Tribune. You let us know if the euro dies, right?
Will do.
We'll hear the screams, I'm sure.
Happy holidays, Marcus. And Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for our co-producer, WNYC. Happy holidays to you too, Charlie.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.